Welcome back to This Is Hardcore Podcast. You just heard Rage and Ruin. This is the new band from Philadelphia that everybody's going to be in love with. My brother, Mike Hooligan, Old Head Steve of Hard Times Tattoo, of Please Die. Steve is a big part of old school Philly hardcore and punk rock with Limecell and other bands. And they are bringing the fucking heat with this new band, Rage and Ruin. Got the link in the Bandcamp. Their first show is going to be at the Broken Goblet in Philadelphia with the Chisel, Homefront, and the one and only CMI, which we talk about a little bit later in the podcast. I'm really excited for you guys to check this out. Also, this is recording is a milestone. This is the first time my brother Joe McHenry ever got to sing backing vocals. So make sure you're there Monday, May 6th, the Broken Goblet in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, to an amazing punk rock, hardcore, oi show like none other. Tickets are going. I know you're as a promoter, I'm supposed to say that, but actually, legitimately, tickets are going. Speaking of tickets, we got a bunch of shit going on. Bob Wilson just dropped this one a couple hours ago. Sunday, May 26th at Bonks, Private Mind, Capsule 9, Into Again, and Concealer. It's at Bonks, Young Bull Drayden, booked by Dre, Gloves Off Concrete, Capo Kong, Heavy is the Head, and Forklift. This is May 31st at Bonks. It's another Bonks, John. And Bob Wilson has had a really good show at Cousin Danny's. A lot of people loved it. Hopefully he does some more shows there. We dropped this one last week. Friday, May 10th, $20 at the door. Pain of Truth, Regulate Bayway, Contention of God Instinct at the Lithuanian Music Hall. It's going to be a fucking banger. The night before, Gates of Hell, coming through with Corpse Pile, Vomit Forth, Rosemary, the Yuki Club. Yeah, it's a good time for shows. Bob Wilson's got one May 4th. Hangman, New World Man, Crush Your Soul, Heads Will Roll, Heart of Man, Sudden Demise. We talked about this a little bit last week. May 4th, West Kensington Ministry, the return of Zach Barone. On vocals this time with Sudden Demise. It's going to be another fucking awesome one. Ben Stuckey's got May 2nd. Bonks Bar, Stand Still, Inner Love, Capillary, Straight Jacket Feeling in West Main. Bob's Out of Pocket and Haywire show was nuts. The Civ show last weekend was great. Got a lot of really cool shit coming up. We're very lucky to have that. This one is May 8th, Cement and Fear, Exit, Splattered Spline, and Unchained. This is also at Bonks. I can't tell you how many shows are coming up. It's going to be fucking fantastic. And Monday, we announce This Is Hardcore Fest 2020 fucking 4. If you don't say out next Friday, more shows coming, more shows to announce. Just be fucking ready for it. Oh yeah, Bob's actually got Torture coming. Torture public demonstration. Oh, I don't even know what that says. Oh, No Quarter Given and Wounded at Bonks. It's Bob Wilson, Tuesday, May 14th. There's so many fucking shows. It's insane. It really is out of control how many awesome shows. The closest one right now, another Stucky John, Last Man Out. This is a record release with Deal With God, Ashara, Rosemary, Tarnish. This is another West Kensington Ministry show. This Saturday, 7 p.m., $15. Really happy to see Last Man Out continue to grow. Funny enough, I was calling them Odd Man Out like a fucking idiot. Sorry, Stucky. You can punch me in the face when you see me. A lot of great things coming up. There still are tickets for The Drain, Beach Party with Terror, Scowl, Twisted Tongues, King 9, End It, Mutually Assured, Destruction, May 25th at the Philadelphia Union Transfer. The show that is sold out is the Kubicon one, as well as Bob Wilson's amazing Hope Conspiracy show. We've got a lot more shows we're going to be announcing. You can follow all this at PhillyHCShows.com, PhillyHCShows on Instagram. It's going to be fucking cool. We're going to be updating the site. Appreciate all the support. Appreciate all the love. Getting back in the vibe of this fucking podcast. It's limerick time, baby. 10-hour days. hanging out with Justin Clemo, hanging out with that Zach Barone, enjoying the fresh air up in the nuke plant, clean energy, direct from Limerick, Pennsylvania. And, going to go right from this nuke plant to a little thing called the Overcome Festival in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Greensboro, Carolina as well. It's a double venue situation happening here. Really looking forward to being able to come down, try out how this new Shattered Realm is going to feel with the guys. Bayway, as we said last week, talking to Jay Way of Bayway, we are really looking to do something here. You know, we ain't going to quit our jobs. We're not going to open up for Van Halen. But we're definitely trying to do a little bit more than what we had normally been. And it's really because of the merger of the two bands. I'm really fucking happy. And I mean that sincerely. I'm really happy with the opportunities and possibilities. And hopefully this little testing out from this North Carolina show between the Shattered Realm Bayway Connect will be fucking awesome. And in trying to make sure that as we are doing cool shit, we help people who do cool shit all the time get a little love, get a little pop. I want to bring my friend James Alosio onto the show, but his story is way longer, and this could be like a 2 or 3 hour conversation. I don't have the time. I got a fucking bedtime, motherfucker. I get up early. Got to take that Clemo to work. We're coming in before the sun's on, and we're leaving when the sun's down. That's the way it is out here. So we want to talk about Overcome and a couple cool things. And once this whole thing runs over, we're going to go deep into the Alosio, deep into the Joey Bayway. We got a lot of shit going on, especially with the announce. I might even be doing show more podcasts in the middle of the week just so I can get everything out. And more cool shit coming because you guys support it. Thank you for understanding. 2024 is going to be an awesome year. It already is. So many fantastic shows have already happened. So many fantastic shows are being planned. And the amount of fucking shows this fucking fall is out of control. I like the emphasis. You didn't see it because I don't like fucking filming myself, but my hand was going as I'm doing it. Bob Wilson, you know the move when I do that. Yeah, a lot of really cool shit. Big Jake from Fool's Game, I don't know, maybe a giant pterodactyl or something came down and crashed into his car. Either way, there's a GoFundMe for Big Jake from Fool's Game. Gentle Giant, he's wrecked his fucking car. He's a college student. And if you can help out, please help out. He's a good guy. I'll put the link into that. So we're going to have a little conversation about Overcome Festival in North Carolina with my fucking boy James Alosio. And then we're going to wrap this up Monday morning, April 15. We dropped the fucking lineup April 19, the Friday. We're on sale. Be fucking ready for it. Tons of shows. We're updating the website, making moves. What do they say? Operating in silence. We're not really on silence. I'm on a fucking podcast. But you know what the fuck I mean, so don't break balls. Thank you for listening. I'm glad that people liked the episode last week. We got more coming, longer, more in-depth like we were doing before. This year just kind of threw me a curveball. God bless all my friends for reaching out. God bless everybody for continuing to support. And I just really am happy that we are able to still get excitement 18 years after the first time we dropped the lineup. So it means a lot to me. See you guys all soon. Here we go. I'm really excited about talking to my boy James, who I punish on phone calls way too fucking much. James Alosio from Long Island. A huge part of what hardcore is right now. I mean, I could go into it, but we're going to, after his festival, I'm going to have him back on and we're give him the whole shebang, the whole deal. But I wanted to bring James on and talk about this fest, Overcome Fest, because a lot of the stuff that he's putting together reminds me of the beginning of This Is Hardcore. And I love the lineup. We didn't make it last year. We're very happy to be invited to it this year. So, James, thank you for coming on the show, brother.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for having me in the kind words and for playing. It's going to be fucking awesome.
I also don't think I fucked up your name, which I was like worried about. So that's a good thing.
No, that was perfect. There's been much worse. That was great.
So the long and short of it is, and we'll get into it further, is that you have gone from being your average hardcore kid to a dude with a dream to do bands. The bands would pick up to do beyond just being in bands, but working with bands. And you know, I own this podcast. I say there's a short amount of people that do a lot of the work for these tours and stuff like that. And you're in that. You're in that cabal of people that are out there wheeling and dealing and making things happen. But what is different from you from the rest of what these guys have is at the stage where you're at with all the other professional shit and your own band Ends of Sanity, you're still taking the time to put something completely organic and DIY into our space. And I feel like a lot of your counterparts, whether it be booking agents and other managers, they would think of something like this as like lesser than what's the most important thing to do. But I really like the fact that not only do you have a fest with a lot of the bands that people love, but you're putting it in North Carolina, which was always a place we had to play. And we met a lot of friends many years ago and we still have them. But it's awesome to see blood and new things happening in North Carolina after many years of kind of being like more of a silent area. So can you kind of walk me into how Overcome became a thing?
Yeah, definitely. And again, I appreciate you saying that. It means a lot coming from you. I mean, the synopsis of that was I moved to North Carolina from a place where everything was set. Like growing up on Long Island, it was never even a thought in my mind, like, oh, I'm gonna book a show, because quite frankly, there's no reason to, between, Jake Z and Scanlan and all these people that were doing great stuff on Long Island. I never needed to. And then I moved to this place where it was, I mean, I'm in the middle of the state and it was just basically fucking silent. And it was like 2000, tail end of 2017. The band that I was in, Detriment, we had kind of stopped doing stuff and I was just kind of sitting around waiting for my son to be born. And it was like, man, this is dark. Like it was a pretty depressing time, because not only was there wasn't anything going on with shows, but because of that, I wasn't seeing a lot of friends. I had just moved to this place, and Winston-Salem, where I'm at, is not a space where everybody was like, man, I gotta go and play there. So it's funny because I did it all backwards. Like I went from being booking a band person to booking agent to manager and then promoter, which is I just find funny, because usually it's promoter, before any of that stuff. But I'll also say I have a lot of respect for promoters, whether it's like a hardcore promoter or any type of buyer that's, putting shows together. Like it's fucking tough, like the stress of like, is this show gonna perform, and having all of that on your back. Like I didn't realize the magnitude of how that shit feels until you're in that position. It's very humbling, especially to do it after you've been the booking agent and been the manager. But the short and sweet of it all is I moved here, there was nothing going on. And so I figured, if I want to see my friends, I'm just going to bring them to where I'm at. I'm going to bring them to Winston. So I started booking shows at fucking barbershops in Winston-Salem. I started booking shows at this pool hall. And, the first Pain of Truth tour I brought to this pool hall in Winston-Salem. And I brought Hangman and Koyo to these DIY spots in Winston-Salem before, these bands were really popping off. And I started to really enjoy it. And it brought me back to a lot of the feelings of like why I loved, hardcore. And I realized people were really stoked on what I was doing. And while I was working on a lot of like bigger scale things, it was cool to be like so involved with my own scene, new scene, beyond just like playing in a band. So I was doing that. It was pretty much like if you were my friend, like I think I did a Year of the Knife show for you. And, if you were my friend, or it was a band that I just wanted to see or worked with, that was another big thing, is like I wanted to do a show. If I worked with the band, I would do it. But I wasn't really just like, I'm the promoter, everybody send me your shit. And then there's a dude down here, Dylan, who I used to send shows to back in the day when I was like doing my booking agent stuff. And I had kind of got word that he was wanting to do a fest and he didn't really have a lineup. He didn't have a name. I mean, he had virtually nothing but a solid chunk of change that he was like willing to lose his ass on. So I called him and I was like, "Hey, I heard you got a few bucks and you're trying to do something." And I was like, "Let me in here and I was like, "You give me the cash and I'll give you a name, I'll give you a brand, I'll give you a lineup, and we'll make this shit real." And that's pretty much what happened. And he was chill about it all. And you know, it was a cool situation because he's like, "Yeah, you know, if you do that, like I got this in case it tanks." And I hit up Freddie and we got Madball and then we got Pain of Truth. And then my band wound up doing, Ends of Sanity wound up doing a weekend with them. And it kind of just fell together naturally. I hit up Josh. We got All Out War. And it was a really cool first year and learned a lot of what to do and what not to do. And I'm stoked that we're able to do it again. And yeah, that's the short version of how the fest came to be.
No, I like the way that you put it, because the usual way this works is a young James goes, "Yeah, I'm on Long Island and these guys are doing something, but I want to do something different." And then ends up being similar to what any promoter on the island's already doing, and it doesn't really pan out well and it fizzles out. But what I don't see enough of is the places that aren't recognized in hardcore as much, getting the opportunity or having someone try to foster like a, "Hey, I'm down here. I want to make something happen." And it really actually adds to the whole thing. I mean, if you look at what Bob did with FYA, Bob just happened to be down in Florida, started something with Sam in Orlando, and he took it up to Tampa on his own. And it's the same principle in theory, like, "Hey, why not do something where I'm at, where I can make an impact on my scene?" And I do believe that despite the touring routes being different these days, which is a whole nother argument we can get into in the next episode, but I think that the Winston-Salem was always a spot because you needed to get from Virginia to either Georgia or Florida. So these Carolinas were important, but they were
Right.
never really had the kind of bigger bands. They had the flash of the moment where, you had the Prayer for Cleansings and that and Undying type stuff happening. There was always like a skinhead punk scene for North Carolina, but like it was overlooked. So it's cool to see you bringing East Coast bands and all these other bands to the place, because I truly do believe it's not the place as much as it like what you're providing, and these smaller festivals will grow that way. So you're already on the right track.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And it goes back to what you were saying. Like, I could have done the thing that kids nowadays love to do, where you sit around, bitch and moan and complain that this isn't happening, that isn't happening. But it was like, yeah, I'm just gonna do this because if I do it, you know, it's like I could do it and it would be great and I knew I could, or I could sit around and be bummed out that my friends aren't coming. So, you know what I mean? It was just one of those things where it's like there was just a space for it. And like you said, if it was a city in a scene where there was so much of it's like I wouldn't have the motivation to do it because I would just be another fish in the sea. But it's like, man, you know, it's been really cool too because when I moved here, I was like, man, there ain't no scene here. And like I started finding out a little bit about the history and my friend Joe from Advent, like he really kind of like I found out about his old band Beloved just because we were friends and like I got to look into like all that stuff and I was like, man, so there's really a dope history here. And it shows because any show we've done in this area, there's, you know, 200 plus kids. Like our record release show had like I think 250 people in a fucking coffee shop downtown. And so yeah, it's been really fun. And I think it's gonna be great. I think you guys are gonna have a really good time and we'll have food trucks there. And I also want to say, like, as far as aspirations go, like, I think it's important to just say that, like, obviously, wherever it goes, that's cool. But I don't think there's enough 600 cap type shows anymore. And I feel like it's getting lost because of all the big festivals. And those big festivals are great and they're incredible and they do a ton for the culture. But I don't want people to feel intimidated, like, oh, I can't try and do this because X, Y, and Z festival happened. And I know that's why people don't try, but I think it should be the opposite, because at the end of the day, like, there will never, like, I don't expect there to be a 3,000 capacity type venue, festival in North Carolina. And I don't think there needs to be. It's refreshing to just feel like, man, I'm at a big hardcore show, and that feels fucking cool. You know what I mean? And it feels like a hardcore show. Like, so to me, it's very much like, I'm not trying to bring, Meshuggah here. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to just keep a scene going and do what otherwise may not have been done, because there's just certain people that don't have the desire to do it. So I think it's important to just point out that, like, that where my goals are for this.
Well, I think, and to your point, the issue that comes with the modern idea of hardcore fest is trying to jump a few steps ahead, like, and having had emails and DM conversations with kids asking, like, how did you do this or that? It's like, well, remember that how I did it wasn't as important of where I was doing it and at what time. Philadelphia, through the stewardship of Sean Agnew and R5 Productions, and the happenstance of the falling out of Hellfest 2005 was like the light bulb, like, oh fuck, people would come to Philly for an actual hardcore show. But we had a pretty solid scene for about 10 years straight. And I think that the 600, 500 cap room is the best place to kind of start a small fest off. And honestly, if I had my druthers, I wouldn't have been ever be able to do some of the lineups that I've done with This Is Hardcore, but it also was a blast to put tickets on sale, sell out at the same day, not have the fiscal worries or the stress of like, well, maybe people will buy tickets day of. It was great to just knock it out and be like, okay, cool, we're on to the next one. And I think it's something that United Blood earlier on did really well, was keep it at a smaller rate. And I feel like the problems that come from it is if you're going to have a 600 cap room, either you've got to have the ability to go to the people that sell these bands and say, look, you know what room you're playing in. You know that the money's not going to be there, but can you say that you're going to not have a crazy time if I book this at a 600 person room? And some of the newer promoters may not do it, but I think it's the best starting point. And honestly, if you had asked me to play a show like, well, it's a 200, 2000 cap room, I'd be like, fuck, man, like, it's going to be good for us. We're an older band. We haven't played the Carolinas since these kids, some of these people were even born. And so it's a great place to be. And it's not like you can't scale it if things keep going as well for you, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing too. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, if it got to a point where it was like, look, I got to make this bigger, I got to bring in X, Y, and Z, like, I'd certainly be open to it. But I'm perfectly content if, it stays something where we have incendiary size headliners. And like, I got all the love and respect in the world for all these amazing festivals that, my band gets to play sometimes, or bands that I work with get to play. It's just, for me, like I said, I'm realistic with, like, where it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, if this was a Long Island, a Philly, a Los Angeles, like Chicago, a different story. But it's like, I know where this is at, and it's just, if it gets there, it gets there. But if not, I'm stoked on this.
Not, and also it's scale, like, not only into scale, but like, yeah, having, let's say, like a Biohazard's a great idea to have like a big name at this time right now because people are so excited about them. But there's something about an Incendiary, even a Mind Force, like these modern bands that have really become like the fucking, the staples of a big show. When they close out a night, it's something fucking fantastic, man. And it's, and like you had brought up Advent before, like that was a band I remember. There's, the back in the territory of Bridge Nine, where like there was a core following that was like, and to a point where people were even saying to us, "This is hardcore," so having like, "You need to get Advent." And I'm going, "Well, how many people from North Carolina would come up to see a band from North Carolina?" Like that was my mindset. But at the same time, that band still has fans, and it, like they were a very impactful part of the hardcore scene, especially as those other bands, which I mentioned, started like pulling away,
Yeah, they fun fact, they are why I named the it's a it's not only is it a terror song, but it's a Advent song. And when I was thinking about a name and a brand for this, like, dude, it's crazy because, and I told Joe this, who, like I said, we're good friends, so he wouldn't be offended if he heard this, but like I didn't listen to that band until I met him. And it was like I saw them here and I was like, what the fuck? Like, why is this happening? It was like madness. And so like down here, they are like the band. So, you know, I tried to make it as North Carolina as possible, and that's where the name comes from. And you know, they're playing the first night in the coffee shop, and it's I think it'll be really special. Anytime I've seen them out here or booked them, it's been a sight to see.
Yeah, looking at that first show, man. I mean, the thing about it that you're having this at a coffee shop, because I was looking at it when I was walking up, thinking like, all right, this is where we're gonna go. Oh shit, this is actually the coffee shop is that day. And I mean, a lot of these bands are local, I'm assuming, but I've also seen my boys in Exit Strategy on there and my friends The World. So going into this coffee shop, what was the deal? You were trying to bring in some people that like needed some looks, or like you wanted to help out. Like, what's the deal with this? Like, how did you like approach building this?
Yeah, so End of Sanity had a record release show in July, and I just walked into the coffee shop and I was like, can I book a show here? And they let us do it. It was fucking amazing. The dude was super chill, and that was kind of like the tester show. And it's a local spot. It's in a perfect area of downtown. It's right in front of a park. It's a really safe area. It's all new. Like, it's old tobacco town that they've just built back up. So everything's really clean and looks really dope. So I wanted to include them because they were super nice with that show. And the dude that runs the shop is a fan of hardcore music, and he's been down in the past. So I just wanted to include them, and they were super down. So we're just kind of, and I'll do regular shows there too from time to time. I booked Koyo there last year and it was fucking great. So, you know, really just focusing on like, I tried to do both days here, but I just couldn't find a spot. I won't name any names, but there was a club that really would have been perfect, and they wanted $10,000, something fucking ridiculous. So it was like, come on, man, I'm trying to do something cool for the community and you're breaking my balls. But the plan is that we can do both days next year in Winston. But yeah, I think that, and they'll be open too. Like, they're gonna be serving coffee and beer during the show, and it's a good vibe.
What was the reaction like from the locals when you said you were doing that? Like, were they psyched on like this crazy show at the coffee shop?
Oh yeah, I mean, like the first show that we did, I think they had done shows at Anchor Coffee, but definitely no shows where there was like a mosh pit. Ours was definitely the first show where people were like moshing and shit. But yeah, I mean, that's just what I've always done here. Like I said, like I was doing the shows at the back of the barber shop, and I've done the shows at like the billiard place. And it was one of those situations where it's like, it's not a scene that's just like you go to your built-in venue. It's like I'm just trying different shit and seeing what works. But I would say the local people have definitely been very appreciative and stoked on the fact that, like, you know, someone's just trying to cultivate something cool and bring bands and bring kids together. If there's been any shit talk, it's not gotten back to me. So everyone has been pretty stoked on all of it.
Yeah, I would say that anyone who's in the area, I mean, this, I could see people coming as far down as Maryland, and obviously people coming up with the whole, again, that whole 95 corridor was fun to play, but our expectations were like, you know, if we can get 50 to 100 kids on a weeknight, we should just be happy. So it's awesome to see you kind of kick some shit like, hey, let's get this area going, because Atlanta had great shows for a time, and I mean, we would play Savannah and it was fucking fantastic for years. So I think that that part of the South needs a revitalization as far as bringing, you know, more hardcore shows that aren't just tour dates to the whole thing. You know,
Yeah.
and I think the kids will appreciate it.
Yeah, I hope so.
So when you were rolling into this year was incendiary. Just like the, everybody who books a fest should know this, but inside baseball, for those who don't, like, you always got to start out asking some bands, and then hopefully some people say yes. So I imagine you're like, hey man, I gotta get on an incendiary. Was it something you wanted, or just it just happenstance that they were available?
Oh no, they were like the band that I wanted to do. Ideally I wanted to get like an Incendiary Mind Force combo, but the room's just not big enough to allow for all of it. But the Incendiary guys, like Brian, used to be really close with my ex-stepbrother. And I actually, this is a crazy full circle thing that I've never even told you, but so Brian used to work with my ex-stepbrother at Target, and I found a pack of like CDs that Brian had brought over to my house, and he left there, and there was a Shattered Realm CD in there. And I popped it in the boom box. This was like 2007 or something. I popped it in a boom box, and I was like, what the fuck is this? This is crazy. But so I've known Brian for a long time. So it was one of those things where I was like, I wanted someone that wouldn't be a hassle. Like, I didn't want to do the whole, like, oh, you're a promoter type questions. Like, it was just like, I just wanted to get someone who'd be easy because there's a relationship there and is actually worth some tickets. So it was an immediate, like, I need to ask Incendiary. And I hit up Max and I told the band that I was going to be doing it. And they were basically just like, yeah, if this is your thing, like, we're going to do it, we'll make it work. So I'm really appreciative that they were so chill and easy about it and down. And because they also know that like there's not going to be 3,000 people here, it's like them doing this is definitely like helping me, and it's helping a scene, and they're real for that shit, and they're the type of people that, they're not going to roll their eyes and be like, oh, 600 tickets, like, no, we're good. They were like, fuck yeah, like we're down to help you out and come out. It'd be cool. We haven't been there in a while. So yeah, they were definitely a top pick, and it was nice and easy to get it done.
That's awesome. I think, especially in this modern era where, as you've seen with these other fests that are not from hardcore, coming in and being able to throw an extra zero on the end of what a normal hardcore show offer would be, it's cool to see these bands who probably, I mean, Incendiary Coyo could easily on their own headline and probably close out that room. It's cool to see these guys being honest and saying, like, hey, this is still for the scene, and this is still something we want to do. Where there's bands in certain places where they'd be like, oh, we're past that point of our career to play these small places, you know?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I think, it's good also for the reality of it is some kids in certain part of the country are not going to travel for some of the bigger festivals. So I think it's really exciting for somebody. Like, I think the last time Incendiary said they played was Breastfest, and that's going on like a decade ago. So it's for a decent chunk of people in this room, it could very well be their first time seeing a band like Incendiary, which that's pretty exciting to me.
I'm so glad you said that fucking name, because as I said this, I'm going, I remember the fest from North Carolina, but I couldn't remember the fucking name for the life of me.
Yeah. It was Scotty P
That's his
did
name. That's his
for
name.
a memorial for his mother.
Yes.
A
Yes.
really awesome reason to do it. He still does shows every now and then, but yeah, that was his thing, and it was dope. I got to go to the last one.
Well, again, touching on this, like, there is a difference in the sense of like what hardcore culture is like in North Carolina versus Long Island. But for those that don't really get it, like, remember the one and only fucking COCs from North Carolina. And for years, this is like off the beaten track of conversation, but like when bands had the tour before the internet and before hardcore was even really used as the same word, you might have to just go and play Winston-Salem and you don't know who the hell it is, but there's going to be a club and there's going to be a local band and you make it fucking happen. And I think with the internet today and the way there's the fly-ins and all the easier ways to do these fests, you don't see these places get hit as much. I think it's fucking cool. And I also think it's cool that you didn't just do, I see a lot of these fests that are from other places and there's nearly no representation really at a strong level, especially in the later parts of the bill with the actual local or regional bands. And so you've done a really good job of making sure that that stuff's not the case, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Try to. I mean, obviously it'd be cool if I could put every single band from here on it, but there's only so much time in the day. But I, even last year too, like there was a lot. Like there was a lot of it. There's a good bit this year, and it'll be the same next year. I think it's important because at the end of the day, like it's about these bands are going to come and go as far as like coming for the fest, but the kids are going to stay. So the goal is hopefully it's, and I'll do shows too. I'll brand them too as like Overcome Fest Presents. And the whole idea is just, I hope that, the scene can just grow. So.
Yeah, you got to plant something and you got to keep it going. For me, when I think of like something like this, it's and especially what you're saying is like you can't put them all on there. And also some of the bands in North Carolina, especially at their Furnace Fest, they did their like once in forever pop up. You know, it's hard to please everybody who's like, how come you don't get this band? It's like, wait, I might not fucking be able to, but I do think as you carry this on, you're gonna see the inception and starting of maybe some more local shows, maybe some new local bands, and then you'll be able to kind of seed those into your fest and beyond, you know?
Yeah. The interesting thing too that I just want to add, just because it's such a different world from what I'm used to, is like the North Carolina scene is so like there's like five different scenes. Like there's shows in Raleigh, and then there was shows in Wilmington for a while. We played there with Terror not too long ago, and it was great. But that was like the first show in a while. There's the Charlotte scene, there's the Triad, which is like Winston and Greensboro, and there's the fucking Asheville scene. Like it's so big that the other idea is that like it can't happen all the time. Like not every show is a kid from Chapel Hill going to go to Asheville. Like it's just too big. You could drive 6 hours and you're still in the fucking state. But my hope is that once a year, the entire state scene, gets to come together. And I think like I said, normally it's too much. There's on any given night, there's multiple shows happening in different cities. So that's something that I was not used to at all, where it was like, damn, like I feel like, I'll drive 3.5 hours to a show in Wilmington, and it's like I'm hanging out with the kids in the Wilmington scene. And then I go to a show in Asheville and I don't know anybody. And it's like, damn, like there's like six different hardcore scenes within this same state. And that's something I've just not been used to, but I think it's probably more common in, in a lot of these, I guess not like major market type areas. You know what I mean?
What do you mean by that?
Which part?
You're saying there's not so much competition, is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying like it for me, it felt like this is rare and I'm not used to it, but I feel like it's more common in a place like, say, Texas, where
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I get what you're
so
saying.
fucking big, and they can drive 4 hours. Like some people, that's what they do. They drive 4 hours to go to a fucking show. And I'm saying like I wasn't used to that. It was like I'd go to Amityville or Garden City for a show, and that was it. And it was like 40 minutes tops. Whereas some of these motherfuckers are driving 5 hours to go to a show on a fucking Thursday. Like that's nuts.
You just made my whole argument with John Scanlon, and that was awesome. I told Scanlon, I said, "You fucking Long Island promoters have it fucking easy. You live on an island. Is a kid gonna leave the island and go off the island for a show, or is he gonna go down the fucking what is that? What is that? I forget the hell, the Long Island, the LEI, like
LIE,
LIE, yeah,
Long Island
like
Expressway.
yeah, like come on now." Hey, I could go up to Connecticut, but oh, there's this show in the fucking island. These motherfucking Long Island guys go, dude, we crushed it. It's like, hey, you live on a fucking island.
No, they, if growing up, I would, if I, like my dad drove me the first out of state show we played, my first band when I was 16, he drove us to Connecticut. And that was like, holy shit, we're going to Connecticut. But like, we definitely have it great out there. I mean, I fucking give my friends shit all the time because I'll drive, 11 hours twice a month, sometimes 3 times a month, and go home. And I'll be like, oh, I'm out here. And they're like, That's far. I'm like, dude, far? 40 minutes far. I just drove 11 hours and 40 minutes is fucking far, you know, because everything is, you know, nothing is more than like 30 minutes away. And past that, everybody's like, I don't want to do it.
I love being in the car. I'm actually, as I told you, we're really looking forward to driving down to Shenandoah on our way down there. I actually really liked when we would play North Carolina. Same thing, we would play in Wilmington, which was close to the bases, and
Yeah.
especially when we were playing was like right when everything really kicked off for 9/11, and we were meeting a lot of people, and it was interesting to stay in touch with them at the beginning of Jesus Christ, like MySpace, and you have these kids like, hey man, I'm so glad you guys came and played. We're getting deployed now. And it shows you in some ways, like even like, I mean, we've been to Germany and American service people came out to our shows just to kind of like an outlet. But it was really
Yeah.
surreal the first time I saw it in North Carolina, where you have a bunch of guys like, hey man, I'm getting ready to deploy. I'm getting ready to go out in here, do this. I'm just excited to see a show before I go. And
Yeah.
it just shows you the impact that hardcore has in that realm. That was one of the most lasting things I remember about North Carolina was the people that I met down there at that time. And then also like just the kindness. I told you before, the first time we went down there, we stayed at Mike's house, and it was the first time we saw that competitive fucking poker on TV, and we were mind blown by that. It was like fucking like, what the fuck? You watch poker on TV? But I always liked North Carolina. I love the fucking barbecue. So I'm really excited to get back down there.
Hell yeah. I'm gonna have to think of I just hit this spot right outside the Shenandoah Valley. I think it was like Harrisonburg, but it was fucking awesome. I was gonna send it to you to stop on your way, but now I'm just blanking on me. I gotta look it up.
Now getting back to this lineup, and then we get off table with barbecue and everything, every fucking other thing. Yeah, you got like the triple Lindy here. Incendiary, who obviously we just talked about, Koyo, who is also an island band, but then of the bands in the modern last say 6 years, these guys, this magnitude goes out and does a tour, and it's like, yeah, hey, you know what? We're not gonna be full pro core. We're just gonna do things DIY and we're gonna keep it real and do the thing. And I really they still have all that energy that they came with when we first saw them, but it really impressed me when they could have easily done so many routes to keep it the way they wanted to. And I mean, every time they've played up here, whether it was for Bob or myself, this is hardcore or down in FYA, they just have a set that you just got to watch out for. And I've never seen them in North Carolina, so I can't even imagine what it's going to be like.
Yeah, it's a spectacle. It's amazing. And they're always, you know, just so down. Like I did a benefit show for Ian, who plays guitar in my band, for his girlfriend. She had cancer. You remember this. This
Yeah.
was, and it was like, as soon as I hit him up, they're like, yeah, we're fucking down. We're gonna do it. And even this, it's like they could do their own thing. Like you mentioned about people doing their own stuff. It's like they could have done their own thing, probably sold it out on their own, and you know, they're down to do it. And it's never, you know, I've seen them all over the place. I've seen them here a bunch. It's never like they're over it, they're tired. Like it's dope. It's a really good time. You're gonna enjoy it.
Yeah, when we were traveling a lot more, it was always really cool to be in the hometown of like whatever the band is at that fucking moment. And
Yeah, you
yet,
never have that for something like a fest, I feel like, you know,
no,
like
it's a key point. Like it's a, you know, like again, it's one of my greatest criticisms of some of these outside tour or the fest rather, where, you know, the lineup might as well just be punched in anywhere because there's nothing that, you know, has something really that's going to fucking be prominent out of the local area. So having like this staple band, like, yeah, if I was Koyo, I'd be like, fuck, I gotta follow this fucking shit.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because I actually texted them yesterday and I was like, hey, I'm posting set times Monday. I was like, I think maybe we should have you play Below Magnitude just because we're in North Carolina. They're like, yeah, you're probably right. We should do that. So I actually just flipped that yesterday.
Well, looking at it, I was like, all right,
Yeah.
bold move, Koyo. I wouldn't want to
Yeah. But no, I agree. It's like I saw the first time I ever saw Wisdom in Chains was at This Is Hardcore, and I was fucking blown away. And I was like, okay, I get it. You know, like, it's not like I wasn't a fan before, but when I saw it there, I was like, ah, okay, this is how you got to see this band.
Well, and that's really it. I mean, you could talk about, you could go on the Twitter and talk about the, this band's over underrated and all that stuff. It's like, well, did you see them at the height of their band when they were in their hometown? Yeah, most of these bands that people are talking about underrated. No, they never left their hometown and they weren't that big of a deal in their hometown. But when you have something like a Wisdom and Chains in Pennsylvania, you have something like a Magnitude in North Carolina or an Advent in North Carolina. It's going to be fucking something because these kids have these bands. And they don't have 12 of them. They may have two or three locals that are important to them. They're going to go all the fuck out, you know?
Yep, 100%. People want to feel that connection, and when it's like a hometown thing, or it's like, people, they resonate with it. And I even felt it when we played LDB, and we're the new guys on the block. Like, we've been a band for like we've been playing shows for like not even 3 years, and we had a very okay set. It was fine. It wasn't crazy, but there was a bunch of people posting from North Carolina being like, really cool to see a North Carolina band playing Kentucky. And there's a bunch of people singing along and jumping around that were like, just stoked that them as a North Carolinian is out there with a North Carolina band.
So let's step into that for a second, because obviously, I've gotten shit on a couple times because, we put Punishment on This Is Hardcore. We had Shattered Realm on in 2018, and every couple Keystone jams we get on there. But like, was there a conflict in you about putting Ends of Sanity, or did you feel like, okay, this is when we're gonna do this?
No, it was like, it's funny because we don't get asked to play here. Like, I think it might be because I do a handful of booking myself, but it's like the last show we played was the Magnitude record release show. They asked us to play, but before that, like, we just don't really get asked to play. And I think I more so do it just because I think I have something to say, and not for nothing, but it's like, man, I'm doing all this fucking work. It's wouldn't be a bad thing to have to take a break for 10 minutes, jump around with my friends, and then go back to doing everything else I have to do. I mean, truthfully, I didn't it's not something I really like think about. Like, we're definitely not going to play every single year. I mean, we're not the only repeat band also. Like, there's a few bands on this year that also played last year. But yeah, not something I really think about a whole lot. I think the other thing too is like a lot of the friends, bands that I put on, like Paul from Suburban Scum, like he was like, man, I really want to see you guys. And it's like, it just hasn't worked, like we don't play out all that much. So other thing too is like, I want to play with a bunch of my friends. So I feel like it's one of those things where you're like, where you're putting it together, it's like, yeah, if it feels natural, let's do it. If it was this thing where everybody's like, why the fuck's your band playing? Like, I probably wouldn't do it. But yeah.
No, I also, again, it's important, especially for Ends of Sanity as a band coming up. It's like, it's a good thing to be involved. I mean, going to LDB, that's an honest good, what's that, like 8 hours at the most away from you guys, 6 hours from you guys?
Yeah, it's like seven
Yeah,
hours.
so that's a regional stop. You should already be like, if you were like, hell, I really want to play Outbreak Fest, or I really want to play this other fest, it's like, no, let's work your way out to it. And I think, especially with the run you just did with Mambo up in the Northeast, especially with the fact that as the hardcore scene now, I mean, look at it. Ends of Sanity for me is one of these bands that I didn't even know you were in the band. I was like on Spotify. I'm like, the fuck is this band? Because sometimes it just let it roll. I usually do the metal shit. And then I'm like, oh fuck, that's James's band. That's fucking crazy. It's
That's
accessible, but you could hear it. What I was getting to is the hardcore scene today. I can hear a band on Spotify, but there's a ton of bands I've heard on Spotify. I'm like, I've never heard of this fucking band. But I think linking your, the band with the sound and seeing you guys is gonna be fucking sick for me. And you guys did really good in a very weird spot opening in Pennsylvania. Because it could be hard, especially on a Friday night. If it was a Saturday, there's like always gonna be like another 100 or 200 people, but everyone works Fridays. But and you know, sometimes you see the opening bands, they step up and they're like, hey, come in if you can. You know, like they're not giving full energies. And you guys gave no fucks and you guys put on a fucking show. And so I'm excited to see you guys in North Carolina. And I'm glad that you guys have been trying to get more kids into here from your area, especially when a scene's small. You know, it's hard to bring people out in general.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. That was a fun show, and thanks again for to you and Chris for having us and Richie for that one. I mean, it was that's the other thing too, is like, you know, the band kind of started in a time where obviously there wasn't any show, that was kind of like a quarantine project, but it's like, you know, I may not be from here, but you know, while I am here, I want to be doing something that connects with it. And the band is very much, I mean, we put North Carolina on every fucking merch design that we do, you know, and kids are resonating with it, and they feel cool, you know, that they feel like it's cool. And so I'm down, and I'm happy to play. But yeah, you know, we're trying to get out as much as we can, and it's fun too, because it feels like nowadays it's very much like you don't get asked to do anything unless it's on a weekend. I don't remember it being like that a few years ago. Like I felt like it was always like, oh, I can't make it work because of this, that, and the other thing. And now it's just like, hey, you want to come do this? It's on a Saturday. It's like, fuck yeah. Like, of course, it's a Saturday. Like, I'll drive out and let's do it.
Now, especially when you're trying to build, you know the deal. You gotta take every chance you can because you don't know what it's gonna lead up to, you know?
Yep, 100%.
Obviously, especially after the crazy set they had, and I haven't seen other sets, but obviously I've seen them at this hardcore. Suburban Scum was a fucking no-brainer, you know, and I can especially what you mentioned and Paul, I feel like that's gonna be another one of those what the fuck moment sets.
I fucking hope so. I really do. Like I, you know, obviously going back to like the stress of the promoter, like I'm sure you, as much as you believe in something, you're also like, man, I hope kids are stoked, you know? Like there was a lot of like, I'll even say like when we had All Out War last year, a lot of people talked about how excited they were for All Out War. And then while it was happening, I was like, huh, interesting. Like, you know, it's just one of those things where they didn't have a bad set by any means, but there was definitely a lot more talk about how stoked people were as opposed to like participation while they were actually playing. So going back to the promoter stress, I, for all intents and purposes, yeah, the set should be fucking bananas. And if it's not, I'm going to be extremely let down. But I have no reason to believe it's not going to be great.
Well, again, I've talked about this on the podcast. I bitched you about it. If it's written on Twitter, I don't even fucking believe it half the time. The level of cap that young kids pull the, this is the band. Oh, you gotta, and it, as a promoter, me and Bob go over and Greg and I talk about a lot. Like, you want to believe that these kids are actually going to be excited for this shit.
Yeah.
And you bring them and you pay them. And the worst thing from the promoter is getting that look from the band, like, eh. Like, ugh, like, it's like, yo, my guy, like, I'm trying to help you the fuck out. But at the same time, you do want the best set for the band. You've brought them down. They've traveled to North Carolina. And
Totally.
honestly, it's the biggest hurdle that I face as this is hardcore, isn't, you know, the younger bands, it's the older bands or the bands that I truly love. And I think the young kids cap or, you know, they might need to see. And we've put a ton of them where it's been just flat. And then, like, I've had not, I'm not gonna have no fucking beef or fight somebody over it, but I've definitely had some people be like, oh, I don't even, you know, like, ugh. And we've had some like straight up walkouts in the early stage of the fest. And it sucks to see it. And I'm not saying that's gonna happen for Suburban Scum at all, but like to your point about these young kids talking on the internet, it's why booking a fest off of fucking Twitter would just get you fucking nothing because every goofball thing in the world is capped. You know what isn't capped? Is fucking conservative military image.
Yeah. I think this is their first time playing North Carolina. I'm 99% positive it is.
No, I mean, I don't know if they've gone down there, but I know that they are a band because they're not trying to be like everybody else. It's like the one time sticking out and like making a name is all on the positive. You know, it's not just the the fact that Adam has this crazy charisma and awesome stage presence, but the band has something that's been missing from hardcore, and a lot of these kids don't even know what's missing because they didn't listen to Oi or punk rock. So it's so foreign, yet the kids who've never been skinheads are really excited about it. And I mean, I'm not going to tell you, North Carolina had a big punk scene, as I said earlier, when we played there in 05. I don't remember. We made the, oh, the law, the, what's it called? The Soapbox Laundromat or something like that. We played some venue, something like that. I had to remember it. But I mean, there was a lot of skinhead punk rocker dudes out. It was fucking Donnybrook, Shattered Realm, Hoods. It was not
Wait,
that
was
kind of
it
show.
Suds and Duds in
I
Greensboro?
can't. It might have been the name of that. I'm trying to remember the
I mean,
damn.
because that's a laundromat pool hall. Like,
Yeah, that's where we played.
yeah, that's Suds and Duds. That place is dope.
Yeah, it was something so called something like that. And there was like a kerfluffle, and it was cool because some of the skinheads like knew what the hell was going on. It was an interesting show, but like it's cool that you have that because obviously one of the earlier bands is One by One, and they came up and did the Bulldoze benefit. They played other shows for us. And like that thing is 100% in line with that. So I'm glad that CMI is on there.
Yeah, same here. And I think also, like you said, like tying the, One by One, they're a band who's, pretty new. They haven't played out all that much. And that's another thing that I think a fest like this is really good for is like you put a band that you want to expose more people on to open, like the local band in the scene, and hope that, like you guys did with the Odd Man Out band, for Keystone. It's like have a local band open up that, was that what they were called?
I fuck up because I'm actually mentally ill and I keep calling them Odd Man Out, but it's Stucky's band. They're called Last Man Out, and
Oh
it's
my
super
God.
fun. No. I fuck up so many dumb things. I'm like, that comes close. I almost got the name right, but yeah, Last Man Out, Stucky's band, and it's the same thing. I'll be like, it's important as a promoter. Imagine if you're sitting there at home and you got a band. And you see these other bands out there, you're like, yo, we're fucking local. How come we're not even getting asked to play this? And there are fests, as we talked about, as I mentioned, that like almost eschew putting any of the local bands on there because they're more worried about what the fucking Twitter crowd is going to be. And it's like, do the math. If you've got six fests that are your size across the country and all of them are trying to book the same five bands, what the hell's the point of doing your fest? There's already five other ones. Why are they going to fly just for your shit? You need your local scene building up and you need your local scene there. This stupid band, Shattered Realm, actually somehow owes you a little debt of gratitude. And we touched on it a little bit last week with Jay, but this is the first time this band, and you know when as we talk about Cap, this isn't bullshit, man. And I would tell you otherwise. Shattered Realm, when I joined it 20 years ago, they were trying to continue the popularity of the band. We did two tours, US, and then we really started writing. But when we were writing the band, if you watch the YouTubes from that time period, we were playing things kind of faster than we ever would have done, but like comparative to the record. So the long and short of it is this is the first time Shattered Realm's playing as like what I think is like the most completely what's authentic to the sound that kids expect from Shattered Realm. And Joe, as I said, Jayway Abayway came to us with the idea of this music that he wrote that didn't really fit for Bayway, that he wanted to have it for Shattered Realm. And we just infused him and the guys into the band. So it's Tony and myself and Chris, Dave, and Jayway from Bayway is now Shattered Realm. And this is our first time doing this, man. This is our first time. And we don't have world domination plans. We have plans to do a little bit more than what we've been doing because now we're talking about original material. Now, when we go to band practice, it sounds so clear and focused to be exactly what a kid who wants to hear the stuff from the Broken Ties record sounds like. We have plans to bring back a track or two from the Dead and Blocks record and give it that crisp sound that Jayway knows how to do. So you're really the litmus test here, man. Like this is like
this is a great, instead of being at home with all eyes on it, it's like we get to take this out on a road game and see how it works out for us. And I'm really appreciative that you asked. And as people don't know, I've got 10 or 12 hour days leading up to the Friday before the Overcome start, the Friday of Overcome. I get home at 4 o'clock and we're driving straight to North Carolina to play this show because I can't fucking miss it. But I got this nuclear shutdown and I'm on every year. So I appreciate you having us. I appreciate inviting us. And I appreciate you bringing Bayway down because the combination of having them on there is what really made us be able to do it, you know?
Yeah, no, of course. Happy to have you guys. And I think that'll be cool for you too to get that experience somewhere outside of the home turf. And I wasn't lying. Like, it's not even because of the fest, but like since I started, doing shows whenever, every now and then, like Shattered Realm is definitely the most like requested, like, yo, you got to try and get this band out. So like it's been an idea brewing for quite some time. And I'm going to be looking at those people who asked me next week, who asked you guys to come down and make sure they're beating ass. But I think it's going to be great.
I mean, and again, really when it comes down to it, the thing that we weren't doing enough of was specifically spreading ourselves too far, too thin. You know, like my relationship with Shane brought us to the Rumble. My connection with Chris brought us to East Coast Tsunami. Bob being like, you should fucking put Shattered Realm on. This is hardcore, is why Shattered Realm was on there. You know, but we never had really the sound that I thought was going to be critical if we're going to release new material. So all this links up for us, man, and it means a lot to us because it's fun to do these songs. But I mean, once you've seen us do, you know, one or two iterations of these sets, it's all we got. So this is going to be a new life in some regards while keeping it really authentic to the stuff that makes kids show up. And then, you know, to play with Payway, and then here's another thing I don't think you realize. Combust, when we showed up in Florida, we ended up playing some shows with them. And we were feeling bad because we're like older dudes, we got jobs, and we're sitting there and we're watching them, and they're like all ordering a single app. And we're like, yo, we'll pay for you. Like, we paid for their bill for them just because we know what it's like to be on tour and not have money. And we're like, yo, we're here out doing like a vacation. We're not really worried about making money on the show. And so we end up buying Combust some apps at the, I don't know if it was a TJ Fridays or something like that. And we all hung out and we clicked up and got to do a bunch of shows in Florida together. And since Andrew stepped up with this Combust band, this is one of my favorite pure New York hardcore bands, and a young band that is eschewing the more modern metallic sense of hardcore and all this stuff and really keeping it 100% classic. To me, is what hardcore lacks the most, is like a sound that is more true to the actual hardcore sound. And coming from New York, I mean, they're a fucking fantastic band. We just Freight Train just played with them with the Fury of Five show. They've even gotten better. It's gonna be fucking awesome. And then I just saw you had Day, I didn't even realize this. You have Dead and Dreaming Playmen, and that's one of them bands we always try to bring up here. And I heard legendary shit about that band. And I'm looking forward to seeing them live.
Yeah, I saw them United Blood 2000, I don't know, I think it was 13 or something. No, not that long ago. 2016 maybe. But that was one of those ones where I was like, how do I get creative and do something that's, not necessarily North Carolina, but people in the South, like people will roll out from 3 hours down the road to support them. I mean, they don't play like hardly ever. And shout out to Ace. I hit him up and I was like, yo, I don't know any of the Dead and Dreaming dudes. Like, I used to know Matt, but I don't have his Instagram or phone number or nothing. I was like, can you put me in contact? And I hit them up and they were kind of like taken back to like, you want us to come play a fest in North Carolina? Like, they just don't get asked to do shit. And I was like, dude, yeah. And they've definitely been a band that people have been like, I'm really stoked that they're playing. And I'm glad because it could have been a thing where it was like, who's this band? They haven't played in a while. And it's the modern day hardcore versus like a band that was doing stuff when like United Blood was a thing. But yeah, I'm very, very excited to have them out here playing. It's gonna be sick.
Well, you know, just like you said, like they were the band that wasn't like modern hardcore now would expect Dead and Dream. Like Dead and Dreaming came out in the last couple of years. Young kids would have been all over them, but they were a little bit not in the margin of what was like popular at the time,
Yeah.
which made them stick out, but at the same time is people were kind of snobby and like, oh, that's not really the thing we want on our bill, where things are a little bit more open now. So
Yeah.
I it's a second look for them, you know, and maybe they start traveling and do more because they were always a good band. I just don't think that they had the interest from the promoters, and whether it was MySpace or whatever the fucking the parlance of the times, they weren't getting the hype up because they didn't sound like whatever was popular at that moment.
Yeah.
What's up with Eyes Wide Shut? I have no info or nothing on what's up with them.
So Eyes Wide Shut is the busiest man in North Carolina's other band. So the bassist of Ends of Sanity, his name's Cam, he sings in Eyes Wide Shut. He also plays guitar in One by One.
I know. All right, I know the. I didn't know the dude. I didn't know he was in that band.
Yeah, so he's in a bunch of fucking bands. He's always on tour, always doing, but if when he's not with us, he's with his other bands. Yeah, like I said, one of those things. I think Collide out of Detroit and Ohio's putting out their new shit, but just another one of those, you know, they play a lot of the local shows. Now they're starting to get out there a little more. The kids around here really fuck with them. So one of the, like, you know, had to throw the locals on that people are digging. So that's their story.
That's awesome. Again, same thing. You know, like you want people to keep coming. You got to make the pop. I have not seen Mad in a long time. And I was a big, and still am. I loved when I'd see his other band Breakaway would come up here. Ace been coming up to Philly for a long time. I know he lives in California, but he still has some roots in VA. And I think it's a cool look, especially with some of the heavier stuff. And it'd be cool just to hang out. I don't think I've seen him in person in quite a fucking bit. So it'd be cool to see my friend. I had him pop on and do a little conversation, but we never did a full Ace podcast. So it'd be fucking cool to fucking hang out with my boy Ace. It's been a minute. And I think that they got started right before COVID, I think. And then post-COVID, I don't know if they just because the young kids were so enamored by other stuff, but I know that you guys got them linked up on the Drain stuff that's coming up in May, so it looks like they're gonna get hopefully some more eyes on them.
Yeah, the band's sick. Ace is great. And I know it's funny you mentioned, like, looking forward to seeing him. Like, when I'm thinking about this next week, obviously I'll be a little busy running around doing promotership, but, like, I think it's gonna be a lot of really just great people in a small room. And honestly, that's what I'm looking forward to the most, of just, like, you know, it'll be a lot of, like, man, I haven't been with this person and that person and the other person, like, together in a room in a long fucking time. And at a lot of the bigger festivals, it's you see someone for a second, you kind of don't see him for the rest of the weekend. I think it'll be a cool, intimate way for a lot of people to just fucking kick it, you know, in a room all day long.
I actually tell you, unless I'm playing a fest or running a fest, going to fest is a situation where I'm like, do I have to go? But if you wanted me to work it, I would go to it in 10 seconds, which is very bizarre. And if you gave me something to do, I'd be so much more willing. But then I never have the time to do like the full bullshit hanging. So it's always hit or miss. But I know exactly what you're saying. I think this is going to be a cool menagerie of different homies and people go, oh, I remember you and all that shit. And that's fucking pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Especially like lately, let me see, besides FYA, I've been to a couple shows at home, did a couple things, and looking to get out and get my brain rolling again.
Yeah.
This band, One by One, who came up here completely like the odd duck on a very heavy show and still made a real showing. And I gotta tell you, if you're a younger band and you don't really fit on a bill, don't play it down. Don't get discouraged because you gotta get up there and give your fucking best because these guys came down and they did it. And people were left like, yo, that was the one band that didn't sound like everybody else. Oh yeah, what's gonna happen? Oh, people were like, oh, that band was cool. I didn't expect them to sound like that. So, you know, going back to them, I'm glad you have them on the bill for a multitude of reasons, you know?
I think pretty sure they took, like, two separate cars and drove out for that show and then drove immediately back. They were telling me, like, immediately back same day. Brutal stuff. Did I tell you our friend Josh White is running the stage for this fest all weekend long?
If you would have told me that, I would have said, hell no.
That's awesome.
Well, he's the same way. Like, what's he going to do? He's going to end up like he came to a couple of these hardcores. Can I give any like day of? Is there anything I could do? And I'm like, all right, we'll find something for you to do. But that's like sort of the nature of guys like us. It's like it's always easier to do the things. Maybe
Yeah.
I'll get to the point where I just bring out a table and chair and drink espresso and do nothing during a fest. But like, if I'm somewhere where something's going on, I want to help out. I'm a part of this, and I like doing things to help the people like me have an easier time. So what do? You jump in, you lend a hand. So good on Josh.
Yeah, no, I mean, I want to help my friends and I want to involve my friends. I'd much rather. I mean, he's literally coming to play anyway, but last year I had him out, and also he books a lot of the bands that are playing, and last year same thing. Like, he made All at War happen. He was very hands-on and, had to get them an Uber back to the airport, and so it's like, and I have State of Mind sponsoring the fest, and so Josh gave me my first job in the industry. Josh gave me a job at State of Mind. So I'm indebted to him forever. And he's one of my best friends.
I like Josh a lot, and I love breaking his ball. So you've just now get besides I was gonna I he said to me on the phone, he's like, well, they couldn't put both Shattered Realms on the bill on the same day. I kind of cracked up, but I look forward to fucking with him on stage and hanging out with both of you guys. I think I guess the question I should ask is, I know it's a smaller venue. You got some tickets left for people if they wanted to make the trip down, even though it's a week out?
Yeah, 100%. We got quite a few tickets. We may not day of. As of right now, we definitely have some tickets.
What's the is like obviously Winston-Salem, for those who don't know, that's Winston and Salem, like the major tobacco play people of the of that area. But like there's decent hotels, there's good shit. Like what's besides the fest, what's the reason for people to come down there?
I mean, so it's one of those places where it's like in Winston and in Greensboro, like, is there like a thing? Like, not really. Like, there isn't a whole lot. It's actually mildly depressing, but fucking hilarious. But if you look up things to do in Winston-Salem, I'm not joking. Like, one of the first things, I think, like, two of the things, it has like the biggest teapot in the world.
I
It's
will
just this.
definitely get a picture in front of that. I love shit like that.
And then there's the oldest Shell station in Winston. It's this gigantic Shell just
All right,
pumping
here I go. I'm pulling this up. Is from
in
this
an
is
old
from
gas station, and you go and take a picture with it. And so there's like funny touristy shit like that that I feel like if you're
I
coming,
fucking love that shit.
you got to check that out. I mean, honestly, the mountains and shit, like, there's a decent hiking trail about 30 minutes outside where I'm at, and that's really fucking cool. And lots of really good local coffee spots. Cranky's Coffee is a place that used to do hardcore shows back in the day, and it's a really cool, really dope place run by good people. And the food out in Greensboro too is really amazing. A lot of great restaurants, a lot of vegan options, a lot, obviously a ton of fucking barbecue everywhere you turn. Yeah, but I think whenever people are like, what do you do out there? I always send them to the teapot and the shell because I just think it's fucking hilarious.
All right, you guys got ghost tours. I'm in.
Yeah, that too.
I'm in for ghost tours. I am not doing no rock climbing. That's from Marty Williams, his crazy ass. Let's see what else we got. Old Salem museums. We like Old Salems.
Yep.
Yeah, some churches. It seems like definitely. Well, I don't know what this Quarry Park looks, but it looks fucking crazy. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of coffee shops and breweries, it's seeming like too, huh?
Yeah, and actually the dude, the band Code 7 from Winston?
I'm familiar with them, and they've played Stalag and stuff like that, but I'm
Yeah,
not like dapping up homies with them, you know?
the guitarist ran a brewery out here for a bunch of years, and he actually just closed it down to turn it into a venue. So we're
Badass, I love it.
yeah, a smaller, like 300 cap. We were gonna do the first show there, but he's actually leaving for tour, so we're not gonna be able to do it until like July, but That'll be really great for the scene out here. I'm really looking forward to that opening up.
Especially with us having the Jeremy Jumpstart jump in with the guys who did Broken Goblet. I'm telling you, it's always cool when hardcore guys start doing other businesses and then somehow they end up back doing hardcore shit. Like, oh, well, I had this coffee house, so I'm going to turn it into a place for shows. And I feel like there's a million, whether it's the screen printer people like Jimmy Edgman, who end up being the promoter that he is now, like somehow he is a hardcore kid in your business. You're still always trying to figure out a way to help do shows, and it's sick.
Yeah, couldn't agree more with that.
All right, so give me the rundown. What are you worried about? What are you excited about? And how do you feel going into it a week from now?
I feel stoked. I'm looking forward to hanging with everybody. I'm looking forward to playing. I'm looking forward to giving kids, an experience that is going to be good for the scene here. It's always one of those things where I don't know if you feel this way, but like when you play and you're also a promoter, things can get a little like overwhelming just because you just kind of like never get a break as opposed to just showing up and playing. But I'm looking forward to it all. I mean, this is at this point, this is what I know. It's all I do. My life pretty much revolves around it. So I mean, I just Incendiary just shipped their merch to my house. I just got it today. Like I'm looking forward to getting out there doing the thing and watching something that we've been working towards come to life. I'm not worried. Both venues are really cool. They let us do what we need, and we kind of tell them, the typical spiel, like let us handle anything. And if there's any, obviously there's like some type of like everyone worries to an extent about like financial stuff, but I'll say, I wouldn't be doing something like this if we weren't in a position to handle whatever happens. But I'm feeling fucking stoked about it. I'm hoping that we get some good weather. I know a lot of people feel that way when they're like they think about the South, like I want to go where it's nice and warm. So I don't no real worries. I think it's gonna be fucking great. I'm excited.
You don't have one of them fucking goofball mosh stages lower than the stage thing, do you?
No, this is
Thank
a
fu thank fucking God.
is the it's a perfect size stage. It's great for diving. It's there's never been any issues. There's no barricade. The security, I'm using air quotes, the security is basically someone that stands out the door and just sees if you have a laminate. Like it's a super chill environment. The perfect stage for singing along and diving, and it's great. It's perfect. That was the biggest thing. We were gonna do it somewhere else, but the stage was like 6 feet high, and I was like, nope. You can't dive on that. It's pointless. We have to do it somewhere where the stage feels good.
I wish I was a stage dive band. I bullied Shattered Realm into being a sing-along band to some degree, but I think we're just going to be goons up front. But I love the idea of kids getting up and diving. I hate the mini stage so people can stand and punch the kids in the face. It's annoying. I'm excited for you. I really do appreciate you coming on. Give me some of your time. You are a busy motherfucker. You have a fucking your own family. You've got bands, work all day damn long. And I just wanted to, help you out and get on the podcast and talk about this because it means a lot for us to be able to do this thing for Shattered Realm. And I didn't get to come out last year. We made shit happen this year, and I'm really excited for it.
Fuck yeah. Well, no, thank you, Joe. This was a nice surprise. I didn't even know we were doing this. But it was fun. It's crazy to me it's taken us this many years to talk on podcasts together, but I'm very happy we did it, and I'm looking forward to the next one.
We're gonna Jess will be confirming everything for the next one because after this outage, we're gonna go really fucking hard on this. This is hardcore promo, and we're gonna be doing a lot more podcasts than we normally have and kind of get back into the flow of things. So, and getting people's stories like yours out, I think, is also motivating for younger kids who do the mopey. I could never do that, and it's like, dude, I said it before. Anything in hardcore is somewhat attainable. You might not be the best at it, but you can do it because every one of us had no prerequisites besides the want and then the push to keep doing it. And I think that when someone hears everything that you've done in this time frame and what you're about now and how integrated and you have been with these bands that are really making a lot of the big waves, it's going to be a cool story. And that's why I didn't want to try to get it all in one show. I just really wanted to talk about Over Come Fest today.
Yeah, again, Joe, I seriously, it means the world from you. I appreciate you and our friendship very much.
Likewise, brother, I'll let you get back to your stuff and I'll have all the socials up and just thank you for being a part of this.
Fuck yeah, same to you, Joe. Thank you.
All right, everybody, if you can make it out to Overcome Fest next weekend, please do. You'll get a front row ticket, a front row seat ticket to the newest rendition of Shattered Realm and so many other fucking bands. And if you're a kid out there wondering how they can do your own thing or start your own thing up, hit me up. And there's a lot to learn, but you can do it incrementally. You can start it small, build it up. Anything is possible if you put your mind to it and you continue at it. It just takes a little bit of time, a little bit of knowledge, and a little bit of hard work, and you learn from mistakes. So, no one doing this kind of shit has ever done it foolproof with no errors. It just takes time. But if you ever need help, hit me up at the Joe Hardcore on Instagram. And this is Hardcore Fest is the Instagram for the festival. Thank you to James for coming on the show. Go to his festival, Overcome Fest, which we'll have in the show notes at the TIHCpodcast.com stuff. And thank you for listening. Thank you for checking out. And for those of you who are coming next week, look forward to seeing you guys. Take care and peace out.